Welcome to Supervision Not Required. This is episode 4. Today we have a really exciting guest speaker, Herve Ruggiero. He's built a really incredible tool. He is the managing partner of Enzo Unified. The tool basically simplifies aggregating data from multiple stores and then being able to interact with those data sources independently. It's everything from SharePoint, SQL, MySQL, Twitter. He's even got Twilio and IoT integrated in there, and you treat everything just like it is from SQL. So let's take a look. Herve, what are we going to be talking about today?
Hi, David. First of all, thank you for inviting me. Yes.
Thanks for coming. I was glad to have you.
Yes. So today we're going to be talking about Enzo Unified, which is a platform that we've been building over the last few years. And we're really excited to share what we're working on to really kind of help adopt the cloud, adopt sources of information, and make it easier for everyone to access data.
So what have you got to show us today?
All right, so let's do a quick overview first of what we're trying to achieve and why we're doing this. All right, some of the major data acquisition challenges. Really, when you look at it, you have data everywhere, right? Whether it's in the cloud or whether it's on-premise. The second thing is that the format of this data is completely different everywhere you look at. It could be, again, in specific document formats or in databases or even loosely coupled with other things. So it could be services, data in queues, data in a host of services, including, let's say, NoSQL data, right? So you've got data in a variety of formats.
Yeah, this is a huge problem. I was talking to a couple of companies just recently, and just one of the biggest issues is not data experts, and they've got data from a variety of different places. I was talking to geneticists yesterday, and they've got files coming in from other laboratories, completely different formats. Some of them are coming from APIs, and then some of them are doing research that involves munging other data sets together. Again, different sources, APIs, so forth and so on. So it's real exciting to hear that there's a platform that's going to make this easier, because when I tried pitching to them, you're going to have to write some custom code that's going to merge this together, and be careful because the open source stuff isn't going to deal with it if it exceeds your memory. Right. So, having this kind of capability will be really impactful for a lot of those folks.
Right. And so you have the data formats, and you also have kind of the side effects of that, all the authentication aspect of the data. Mm. So, it may all look like you may connect to a REST service over here and a REST service over there, and you may think, oh, it's okay, these are REST services. But the format of all this information that comes from different sources is actually different. And then, of course, you have the real-time aspect. You want stuff now. So you could think about data integration solving data problems using ETL tools. And that's okay. ETL tools do a very good job at moving data, a lot of data, transforming this information and moving it somewhere else. You also have integration platforms. BizTalk is one of them, of course. You have a lot of others. And these are really good at solving complex problems for large organizations. So Enzo will really help you solve accessing complex data sources, but also solve it in real time, which is really important. And because of the abstraction that Enzo creates between you and the rest of the world, you can do other things like IT management and really abstracting corporate data to create views of information that's normally in different formats. So let's take a quick, first of all, kind of logical overview of where Enzo fits. Right? So imagine that you have multiple consumers. You may have business users, right? Analysts, you may have applications, custom systems, you may have mobile devices and mobile apps. You may, of course, and this is the key, databases. You may have databases that need information. And usually, the database world is usually completely isolated from the rest of the world. It's extremely hard to put business logic down at the database level or have the database reach out to the rest of the world to do things. In this particular diagram here, you see Enzo between those consumers in questions, and let's not forget reports and dashboards as a major consumer of information. Enzo sitting between those consumers and the rest of the world, literally. You could really think of it as Enzo being the SQL of things, or data of things.
Data of things,
yes,
yeah, I like
that's
that.
That's more accurate, yes, the data of things. So let's do a
demo time.
Yes,
yeah.
Finally, so, enough talking.
Yeah, sounds great. I get the sales pitch. I love it. It sounds wonderful. Let's see how this thing actually works.
All right, sounds good. So we're going to start with a simple demo to kind of walk you through what Enzo is. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to use SQL Server Management Studio and connect to Enzo, not to SQL Server.
Okay, now that's pretty cool just in itself.
So at this point, I'm establishing a connection, and I'm going to connect to Enzo, which is running on a specific port. Poof, magic, SQL Server Management Studio has been fooled in thinking it's talking to SQL Server, but it's not.
Does the SQL team know about this yet?
Now they do. So what we have at the bottom, you will see that we have the name of the server, which is one of the ports of Enzo, and Enzo is running here, and it emulates a specific version of SQL Server, and we're logged in as SA against Enzo. So what I'm going to do is run a command to take a quick look at what Enzo has in its environment.
Oh, these are a variety of different APIs and data formats that
right.
it has available
these
to it.
These are abstracted APIs. These are what we call adapters.
Twilio,
so you
Census.
Have Azure Storage, Bing, CSV flat files, Data Government, Dun & Bradstreet, you know, a slew of systems, including Salesforce.
We can extend this, can't we? So if I wanted to add, you know, like a property management database that I found because I'm a property manager, we
yes.
can do that?
Wow. So not only this is a subset of what we have a whole lot more than this. You can definitely build your own since we have an SDK, and that's the developer part.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yes, and it's very easy to really add to Enzo. It's basically a DLL that you drop in a specific folder and yep, poof, it comes up.
Are you going to demo that one later?
Well, I'll show you
okay.
what some of the magic we can do with this, yes. But take a look at the Azure storage. And you'll note that it is built in help, by the way. So we're going to take a look at the Azure storage. And you can see that we have commands for blobs. We have operations against entities and queues and Azure tables.
Wow.
So you can literally communicate with Azure storage in a variety of ways through Enzo without really understanding the Azure Storage API. Right? So same thing with Twitter. Let's say you're interested in accessing Twitter using SQL or simple REST commands. You have the ability to search, find your recent tweets, or post a tweet.
You can post a tweet.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cool distinction. So not
yes.
only are you actually getting data, but you're actually able to interact with the APIs
Absolutely.
In both directions. This is That's
yes.
really cool, all
yeah,
from SQL-like.
Cool. Yes, SQL-like commands. Here is another one, for example, with just data government-related information. You can have demographics data very easily, and we have exposed a lot of other information as well. So let's take a look. And let's run a command using an exec type request, which is calling a store proc. So I'm going to make a command called datagov, because that's the adapter I want to call. And I want to get demographics information for Florida. So I'm going to select that command and run it. And this actually calls live, in real time, the data services of the government to return demographics information for Florida.
Takes a nice long time, like the government too, I see.
Well,
that's
yes.
their service though, right? So it hits Enzo first, and
yes.
then Enzo goes and translates.
The, yes, that's right.
So one distinction to make is that even if you have scaled out Enzo very well, you're still restricted by whatever the underlying data source is. So
that's
if you're
right.
hitting government websites, it's going to only go as fast as that particular bottleneck.
That's right. And like any good demo, this one is going to fail, all right?
Yeah.
Oof.
No, we got it. It works.
Have faith. All right, so in this particular example, you see this came back straight from the government. So you have household information, medium income, by geographic name, and land area, which is provided.
Does it tell us who's voting for Rubio?
Well, interestingly enough, we might be able to do things along those lines, but for the time being, we're going to stick to the simple things. For example, you want to have information on Palm Beach, same thing. Now this comes a little bit faster.
So we can see the land area, the population.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is pretty cool.
Boca Raton. Let's take a bilateral. And this is also really interesting because, you know, geocoding is actually not really easy to do, especially from the database world. And keep in mind, as I mentioned earlier, this is all available through REST as well. So ENSO could be hit from a database server directly all the way up to your mobile device. It's really a game changer in a way because you're writing logic once. And it's available from anywhere in the enterprise that you want to access from. So let's take a look at Azure. Yeah, so for example, let's take a look at my queues. I have a few queues in Azure. And again, this is going in real time. It's a little bit faster. Azure definitely.
Azure's a bit faster than the government.
This is not cached. We can, you know, request count queues and say, all right, my, you know, there's a queue called integration queue. How many items do I have in that queue? Zero for the time being. Let's send something in that queue.
Why not? Right. Yeah, let's see.
So first of all, since I don't know the Azure SDK API by heart, but I don't necessarily also know ENSO by heart. So how do I send a message? So I'm going to ask for help on how to send a message. And this comes back with information and sample code on how you can do that. Built in.
That's excellent. Yeah, built-in documentation
built-in
is always...
Built-in documentation, literally at your fingertips. All right, so let's do it. Let's insert into our queue called integration queue an XML document.
Okay.
Right, simple enough. So I'm going to press F5 and one row affected. So this is all within the realm of SQL Server.
It looks just like SQL Server. It just
really
looks
is.
And interacts just
like it.
Looks
like we have a table called queue.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's get a count on our queue, and we should have one.
One item. Message. So you're actually sending data to the queue, and this is super cool.
If you were to bring up right now an Azure Explorer of some kind to see what you have in the cloud, you would see that message in that queue.
This means that I can actually do some form of analysis in SQL, and then push messages over to Azure Queue and let another system take over from there. I mean,
That's right. Yeah, you could, for example,
cool.
say, we have an unexpected login that just took place. Let's put this in a queue for something else to analyze this later. So let's take it. Let's actually go grab that message and see how it looks like. And there it goes. We now have our message, which is here, the content column. It's available as a byte array as well. And you have your receipt, your insertion date, the type of thing that you would have normally.
So
that with one language, you communicate with Azure Storage. You communicate with government data sources. And let's take a look at Twitter.
Yeah, a whole nother one. So we're getting data from government data, and we're actually able to insert into Azure. And now Twitter. This is cool. Now Twitter. It's totally different, too.
Channel 9 Twitter, right? Let's see what all the recent tweets for
David's
for
in there. David's
9.
In there.
Yes. And there they are. So not only you have, these are live tweets that happened recently. And you will see the actual content of the tweet, but you will also see the screen name of the user that performed the tweet and everything that's basically given to you by the Twitter API.
And you said you can integrate REST in REST, because it is a REST hit, isn't it, for Twitter?
ENSO is making the actual REST request. So ENSO is completely hiding the authentication mechanism,
If I had something, so a cool scenario I think this is enabling is if I'm doing some sort of marketing research, I can see that I've got users who are purchasing things on my transactional database, get that information, do a quick analysis, go see what they're tweeting about, and then I can maybe get their Twitter handle and tweet back at them all automatically from one system using one line. That's
right.
That's badass.
Yes.
I don't know if I have to cut that out, but that's badass.
I'll show you actually a demo later on how we are monitoring tweets. So let's take a look.
Select star from SharePoint. Damn. Wish I had that when I was doing SharePoint consulting.
Let's take a look. I am connected here to SharePoint, and I'm trying to understand and discover my own SharePoint environment, which is here in the cloud. This is SharePoint Online. And ENSO has been configured from an authentication mechanism to communicate with my own SharePoint Online environment, right? So I'm going to run a command to actually go fetch my available lists in SharePoint. And here they are. So I'm interested in finding information and getting the actual entries in my posts list. So I'm going to do a select ID title and user from my SharePoint list called posts. And you see here a little bit variation on the SQL syntax. If you know SQL well, you will see that there is something weird happening here. List at posts. And that's not standard SQL. Because we're in the middle, because we emulate SQL Server and we emulate the language of SQL, we take the liberty to modify a little bit in a way that makes sense for SQL Server still. So let's take a look at the posts that are available in that SharePoint list. And we just requested the ID, the title, and the user, and that's it. So a quick look at the SharePoint adapter will show you that you can also manage documents, you can create lists, you can add fields and remove items, and interact with, I would say, kind of the basic elements of SharePoint, but which are used widely. Same concept with Azure tables, and let's go really in a NoSQL world. How about we make NoSQL look like SQL? So let's take a look at a select star from Azure Storage.table at table one. This is the name of my table, table one. And this is going live again. And it's literally showing you.
You got Scott Klein in there?
I've got Scott Klein in there.
He's in there a couple of times, yeah.
We have roast beef, we have gymnastic.
Roast beef and gymnastic. That's funny.
Yes. And what actually happened here is actually interesting. If every row of every entity in this Azure table actually has a slightly different schema. And you'll see that the first user with row key 001, which is Scott Klein, does not have a state column, which is why it comes up null. And Enzo will dynamically adjust the schema of that virtual table, if you will, table one, to add columns where they're missing and give you nulls everywhere, right?
That's actually really incredible, because I was talking to somebody about doing MongoDB, and one of the concerns was they've got this NoSQL thing, but they need to do some sort of relational analysis on it, and they're not exactly sure how to do it right now.
Yeah. But that opens up that door. I mean, we've implemented an adapter for Couchbase, for example. And Couchbase is, a different kind of NoSQL environment with different semantics, right? But at the end of the day, it stores JSON documents. So with Enzo, you can access Couchbase data in real time and make it look like a database table that came from SQL Server. And of course, we've got real-time services. We've taken a look at data environments. How about services such as Bing? How about we search right now
for channel 9?
What comes up for channel 9 on Bing?
It better be channel 9. Come on, Bing.
Poof.
It is channel 9.
Amazing. Yeah.
All right, Bing.
FlightAware is another example. You might want to have real-time flight information.
What is FlightAware?
FlightAware is a service that allows you to obtain a real-time flight information worldwide. So you know what's landing, what's taking off, the delays, and all that.
Super cool. So we can integrate this with our SharePoint environment, our SQL environment, and then if we need to book flights for your booking agency, get some details on flights. This is just super cool.
We've actually abstracted a method on Sabre to test that concept. And that actually works.
Oh, that's neat.
So here's the five flights that just recently arrived at the Fort Lauderdale Airport. And we can see where they came
from. Where'd they come from? Yeah, we've got
Austin, Boston.
New York and Boston. Yeah. Nowhere exciting. I was hoping for like a Hawaii or something.
What I'd like to do now is actually set up a couple of things that will prepare us for the next demo. So what I'm going to do is create a Channel 9 queue called Channel 9-queue in Azure.
This is actually going off and creating a queue. That one line of code creates a queue.
Yes. That's it.
That's it. That's incredible. I'm glad I didn't watch your demo beforehand, and I'm just kind of looking at this for the first time, because it's so much more exciting to see, because I had to create a queue programmatically earlier, and it was just like, all right, here's the 30 lines of code that you got to do. Now you got to get the authentication, exchange the token. So you didn't one bloody line of code.
Yes. What I'm going to do here is use a method off of my Twitter adapter, which is called createTrigger. And what this does is that it creates a background thread in my Twitter adapter that will monitor and pull information from Twitter. So I'm going to create that particular trigger. And what it's going to do is that for every message that it finds, it will call back Enzo and say, all right, send a message to my queue.
Okay.
And this is the message. We're going to insert an XML document.
Oh, cool. And you're getting the actual components of the table from there.
Yeah, the string of the identifier from Twitter, the screen name of the user, and the content of the tweet.
So this at symbol is something that you've kind of done in here.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then these are the connection information to the local
endpoint. That's your super secret password.
Yes, my super secret password, yes.
That's better than mine.
All right. So we now have a trigger created. And now this will run every 8 seconds. That's the little magic number here.
One, two, three.
Yes.
Eight.
The filter that we're using is at CH9, which is a Twitter handle for Channel 9.
Yes.
So we're filtering.
Do I need to go tweet at Channel 9?
We'll have a few come in for sure. And yes, we'll definitely do that.
We'll get on Twitter and tweet at Channel 9, maybe.
So at this point, we have a trigger that monitors tweets. Okay. And then we have a queue that will now accept the tweets that it found. Oh, we have one.
Oh, is it me?
No, that's someone else. But we have a content here. And if we expand the content of our queue.
Ah, it is me.
Oh,
yes.
That's yours.
Oh, that is super cool. So it did it pretty quick, too.
Yeah,
because I just tweeted just now, and you've already picked it up.
We have an 8-second window.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can do however fast you want, but that's super reactive. Like, that's really cool.
Right. So we've selected, and the messages disappear after you select from them. So, but
that's how Azure Queue works. Yeah, so.
And we have a way to fake. So here is an example of how to send a message in a queue, which I showed you earlier. So if we wanted to fake and send a message to see how the whole thing works, we could do that as well, which from a testing standpoint
is very helpful.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Because as a tester, you know, a lot of the testers that I've worked with know the SQL language very well. And for them to be able to interact and send, you know, and fake and abstract certain parts of the system is very hard.
Yeah.
Now you can really bring your testing to
They'd be out
level.
Here going at, you know,
yes.
Channel 9 testing my Enza Unified thing while your competitors go out and take a look at what you're testing.
Exactly.
And like, oh, Enzo's adding Twitter? Oh man, we gotta get that now. But this will help abstract all that away because you can just insert directly in a SQL language that's comfortable for your tester. So
that's right. And it really helps the test team interact with an entire ecosystem of services and data sources without really understanding or knowing or having to worry about the details of the APIs or the authentication mechanisms behind the scenes. Because really, at the end of the day, you're not interested in testing an API. You're interested in testing the business logic and the way the systems are using the APIs, but not the APIs themselves.
Yeah, because you're using somebody else's API. They should test that.
Right. So what I did here is I just requested a message count on my queue, and we have now two messages pending. So we're going to use this in a few minutes. And another thing I want to do is create a SharePoint list, because what we're going to do at some point
is insert them into the SharePoint list.
Oh, why not?
Neat.
Right?
Yeah, see, all this integration that I've been asking about, you're like, just shush, David, we're getting to it.
So a quick help on the create list commands for SharePoint tells me how to use it. And I'm going to create a list called Channel 9 Tweets of type tasks. So we're going to have you can choose the type of list that you want to create. And we're giving it a short description. So this goes with SharePoint Online and creates our list. It's done. And let's add a field, by the way, called a screen name. Because I would like to add that to my
to know who's doing it, yeah.
So that I know who I'm dealing with, right? And that's it. So we've created a list, and they've created a custom field of type text. And let's test this. Let's insert into our channel tweets title, screen name, and new tweet received from HRogero, which is my Twitter handle. So let's do that.
Yeah, so if you want to get this live, make sure you reach out to @Rogero as well. So
all right, we have one row affected. It's kind of cool. You see the
oh, that's pretty cool, because it's going into a SharePoint list, but it's coming back like it went into a SQL.
Of course, it's a table, right? So
yeah.
Let's make it look like one. So let now just go ahead and select, make sure that that actually is true, that we have.
Cross our fingers.
Cross our fingers. Drum rolls.
And it works. Yeah, cool.
Our SharePoint list. So let's delete it. So we remove our test record. This is ID of one, just making sure.
There we go. One row affected. Mm-hmm.
That's it. So this concludes kind of that first section showing you the simplicity and the ease of which you can communicate with data sources and services in real time. All right, so let's take a look at SQL Server again for the time being. And what we're going to do is explore a job that I created recently. So I'm going to start.
This is the tweet watcher trigger thing we made earlier, right?
That's right. Yep, we're going to pick that up. And what we'll do is that we will create a job that will actually go ahead and monitor the Azure queue that we have created, right? So that whenever there is a message in that queue, we are going to put it into a database table.
Oh, local, cool.
Right? So we're going to do the monitoring of tweets into a local table. So SQL Server Agent here has been started, and I just want to show you one of the jobs that I have created, which is the channel 9 import. So let's take a quick look at that. And you can see that in the steps, what I have is a small SQL program, basically, 20 lines of code, which creates an in-memory table, gets the message from the queue into that memory table, and then inserts it into a SQL Server table. What happens here is that because the message is in XML, we have a little bit of code to actually convert the XML into data before it gets into a table, right? So that's what this is doing. And over here, what you can see is the insert, the exec statement against Enzo to retrieve a message from the queue. So what I'm going to do is run that just once so we can start job. So we can test the actual job itself. And we have
success.
So let's take a look at our table in the Twitter database that I created locally. And I just want to select the top rows. And we can see that we have picked up a tweet. Right?
The one for me. Cool.
Uh-huh. So at this point, we can have this job run, which will insert records in that table. So how about we add a trigger to now do something else? So it's kind of a...
It's a pipelining. It's moving stuff around, doing things.
To show you how you can orchestrate things really easily. So that's what I'm going to do. Is to actually go here and connect to, I'm connected here to SQL Server, which is what I want. I'm going to switch to the Twitter database and then create a trigger. That trigger is going to retrieve the screen name from what's being inserted into that table and communicate to Enzo to actually add a record into my SharePoint list.
Okay.
All right. So let's do a create trigger on that table as an after insert. And that's done. So what I'm going to do now is run my job again just once. We should have tweets ready for us. And at this point, we now get the message from the queue, insert it in a table, and the trigger is going to run, which will send the information into our SharePoint list.
Okay, so now we've got two jobs. Well, we've just tested the jobs. They're not fully running yet.
That's right. We're just still testing the job. And let's just check out over here. I am connected to local Enzo, and I want to select from our channel 9 tweet list. And we now have a new tweet received from Data4Bots.
Right? All right.
So we've literally chained this. Now, let's say your business evolves, and this is really becoming a hot item. And what you want is also receive a text message whenever something like this happens, because you really want to know now.
I want to know now that I've just been tweeted at. Yeah.
So let's go back here. And what
you're
going to
send a text message?
I think so.
Oh, this is super cool. Yeah, I would love to see a text message come across. So we're going to go from Twitter to SharePoint to a text message on a phone.
And in fact, to make it a little bit even more fun, what we're going to do is light up that ball that you see here that magically appeared recently.
Oh, this, yeah, yeah, just magic. You didn't see this before, did you? We always slip something into every episode.
So in order to make, to send text messages, we use the Twilio service.
Ah, yes.
Which means you can also make phone calls, which is kind of cool, right? You can make phone calls.
You can call somebody and be like, you've just been tweeted by Data for Bots.
And Twilio is a very powerful service, right? You can literally have a kind of a workflow within Twilio to say, if this number doesn't pick up, go over here, and so on and so forth.
If it doesn't pick up, light the light bulb.
Text-to-speech capability, exactly. You can do things like that, like monitoring servers. And say, oh, you know what? That SQL server is down. I need to call someone right now.
Oh, so that's actually really, really cool. So you can do your own monitoring of your own systems from SQL.
Yes.
And then start sending emails.
You're monitoring the way
you
want.
Wow, that's mm-hmm. super amazing. Your gas pipe has exploded.
Yes. Go now. Server one is on fire. Pick it up.
Wow, that's super cool. So you can do the inverse of this. If you've got light bulbs that are going off, like red lights flashing. Oh, I can't wait to see this part. All right, let's see this thing.
So what I'm going to do is just add a condition. I'm only going to send a message when I have a retweet.
When you have a retweet?
Yes.
Okay.
So we want to do a retweet in order to call our Twilio adapter to send a text message. And you see how hard this is?
Just nice send SMS. Yeah, right.
And then we are going to light up that bulb and then take it and then turn it off.
So what do we have to retweet to make this happen?
We'll find a way.
A channel 9?
Yes, channel 9 tweet. I'm going to alter the trigger now. So we now have the modified trigger. And you see how easy it is to change, right? We've basically made a change to our business process at this point by programming differently. Oh, it looks like...
Oh, I already did it, yeah. I'm sitting here tweeting at you waiting for it to start happening. I'm getting excited about this.
So this is a tweet, but this did not come from Enzo. This was probably a tweet directly sent to me. So I'm going to, because the light didn't.
Oh, so you have one set. Oh, yeah, that's just your phone.
It's listening on H4.0. But here we're going to just do channel 9. So let's run this job. And it's picking up information, doing its jazz. Ooh, we got the light turned on. And poof, we got the message.
Hey, look at that. Mm-hmm. I'm preparing the next one. When it all goes live, I can't wait to see the jobs get started because I'm going to flood. This thing is going to blink like crazy.
Yeah. So let me just enable the job then because right now it's just running one at a time.
So who do I know will actually do this? I'm going to get my Twitter army to do it.
Poof. We got one.
We got one? Somebody retweeted?
Somebody retweeted and we've got a text message through Twilio. So we interacted.
Oh, it's from Mustafa. I knew somebody I knew would do it. Mustafa's my colleague up in DC, so he's retweeting and it's lighting light bulbs. Yeah. That's super cool.
So these are the kind of things you can do, and of course, this is fun, right? But you can see the implications of, you know, integrating and orchestrating real-time events, not just with light bulbs. It could be medical devices.
It could be anything. I mean, I've got a band here with my heart rate. If the heart rate stops all of a sudden, you can start lighting red flashlights outside of a door.
Right.
You can merge that with other information, start sending messages to specific doctors. We need a cardiologist on floor 5, stat. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow, that is super cool. Who did we get this time? I don't know who that is.
Zedkara.
Thank you.
All right, so what I'm going to do is turn this off so we can focus on something else real quick.
Oh, man.
Because as much as cool this is and how much fun we can have with this, there's something else I need to show you.
All right.
So I'm going to stop the agent here. This is where it's going to get really sick. Huh? Like really sick.
This is where I can't wait to see how sick it's going to get. I can't wait.
What we're going to do is communicate with multiple systems and databases in parallel using the sharding that we talked about earlier and gather data from those systems. And this is where it gets really, really interesting. So let's start simple with just two databases. We've got a database called SalesDB1 and another one called SalesDB2. And we just want to merge data from those two. And we're just talking about SQL Server databases, so nothing too fancy.
Nothing too exciting here yet. So you could do this within the context of SQL?
That's right.
So, mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to start really simple. What does SQL normally do? And then we're going to get to add some fun stuff to it.
Right, exactly.
All right.
Let's make sure that it works with the simple stuff first.
Right.
So what I'm going to do here is...
So you actually get syntax highlighting and stuff on this as well.
Yeah.
And notice, because when you were not authenticated against it, you were getting all the red squigglies. So
yes. Now it knows that these objects actually exist.
Does it actually get IntelliSense as well?
It will at some point, yes.
Wow.
We're working on that.
That's super cool.
You'll be able to see them also in the list on the left. You
know, it's on the road now. Oh,
at some point.
Neat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So here what I've done is that I have created the definition of two data sources for my two databases, which are on this machine. And then what I'm doing is creating a shard called recent cells. This is the way I'm defining my shard. So recent cells points to those two databases. You can create multiple shards and multiple layers of shards. So you can have your local databases, your cloud databases, and a shard of each, and another shard that combines the two. So you can really build it the way you want. So right now, we just have one for simplicity. And I'm going to create what's called a virtual table called local cells. What I want to do is to create a virtual table. Okay, it's like a create table statement in a way that points to that shard. So now I can do select star from local cells. And it'll go behind what's behind the shard automatically.
And grab and aggregate
and grab
both
data.
Of those.
So let's do select star from local cells. And what we have is data coming from both databases.
And it
see
tells
on the right
you which one the source,
right
yeah.
From,
right? Super cool.
And you see it came back pretty fast. Of course, we're looking at two databases that are local. Let's say you just want to find out what the records are for sales DB1, which is one of the sources. So you can do the same syntax which is earlier. Hey, just use that data source over here. So it knows to just go after one data source. Right? So let's, you know, a couple of things. You can also, of course, apply where clause. You can say, I just want that particular ID. And it's going to find the record that matches your where clause. Let's, for example, just want customer ID 1. But it happens that I have multiple records with that particular identifier across my data sources. You can, of course, update. You can run update statements against your shard. Because if you tell it where the record is, or if you say, my record is in a database that has this condition, it will point to the right database.
Right? Oh, man.
So at this point, for example, I have my local cells here. And I'm about to update the order ID 201. Let's find it.
201.
Top. It's got a category of support. What I just want to do here is changing
to tennis.
All right.
Now we know what
so
sport.
So at this point, we've updated our table. And if you do a select star again.
Go find 201.
It's actually over here. 201
and then we've
here,
got tennis.
And it's now tennis.
That is cool.
So as you can see, it becomes really simple to really abstract your data sources and make it look like just one. But let's do something really magic. How about you have a MySQL database and you want to include data from MySQL into your shard?
Yeah, that'd be really neat.
Right, so that's another SQL
like thing,
database.
Yeah, but it's not the same kind. So this isn't something that you can do out of the box with SQL Server.
No.
This is something that is
now we're going a little
unique.
Bit outside of the database of the SQL Server world. We're staying in the database world, but we're going outside. Imagine you could be communicating with Oracle, you could be communicating with DB2, whatever, right? It doesn't really matter where it is, as long as it responds to, if you can connect to it. So what I've done here is that I've created previously a data source called sales MySQL, which is actually a join statement. Because of the way this is, there are actually, there's a slightly different schema. So what we want to do is make sure that the column names match. But you may not have all the column names that you're expecting. There may be holes, a little bit like the NoSQL discussion we had earlier. So what I'm going to do is simply modify my shard so that I now include sales MySQL as part of its definition. So that's updated. Let's do a select star from shard.localsales. And this will merge data from SQL Server and MySQL. So you could say we're making MySQL look like SQL Server a little bit, right?
And you're integrating both the data sets together. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is super neat.
Which means now you can do things like filtering, which will actually go and filter against the data sources.
Again, all three of them, wow. Mm-hmm. Actually, for mergers and acquisitions, this is
Yes.
super great for mergers and
Absolutely.
acquisitions.
For merger and acquisition scenarios, you really standardize the field. And remember, this is also sharding. So you could have an acquisition scenario that has, let's say, three or four Salesforce environments.
Mm-hmm.
But what you need is to make it look like one.
Yep, from a reporting and
from
analytics
a reporting,
perspective.
But also from a business integration scenario.
Oh, yeah, pipelining and being able to action on that.
Where are my customers, right?
That, yes.
So you could actually create a view that goes after your Salesforce databases and services, really, if you don't have those, and you may have another service for CRM somewhere else from another company, and just make it look like one.
Oh, wow.
And
this
you can
is
search
neat.
Across them all, right? So because this is cool, let's do something
even more cool.
Even more cool. We are going to add an Azure table to our shard.
Oh, cool. So
now
we've
got...
So
now we're merging NoSQL and we're going in the cloud.
So we're doing two SQL servers, a MySQL server, and an Azure NoSQL
That's right.
database. Oh,
That's
my
right.
gosh.
So now I have data also in an Azure table, which I want to incorporate into my list.
Now I see why you guys are called Enzo Unified.
I'm going to modify my shard, recent sales, to include my sales Azure data source, which I have created previously. And in order to do that, the Azure table actually may not have also all the same columns than the current databases that I have. And Enzo automatically adjusts the schema of everything that it finds and put nulls everywhere when it doesn't find it so that it makes it look like it all came from the same source. Poof.
And there's our nulls coming from certain
the
areas.
Partition keys and arrow keys.
Exactly.
Which is required in an
for
Azure environment. So you're not going to find those, of course, in my sales databases anywhere, but they will be there for Azure. And we now have SalesDB1 on the right. We have MySQL, and we have
and
Sales Azure at the bottom.
Oh, that's cool.
Funny enough, a lot of organizations deal with data that's stored in documents, whether structured documents or sometimes loosely structured documents. It could be XML documents, but usually you'll find them in flat files.
Mm-hmm.
In Excel, you find them, you have databases running in Excel, literally. So what I'm going to show you here is that you can also create a definition
of a CSV.
Flat files.
Oh,
I have a flat
cool.
file locally. This could be a flat file that's on an FTP site that's potentially zipped up and that you want to automatically download and refresh in a cache. So you can do things that are like this, right? So all I'm going to do is point to my local temporary file called salesdemo here.txt and create a sales file definition against my file here.
What's crazy
and
is...
I'm going to make it look like a SQL Server table.
I just had a conversation with a couple of geneticists yesterday. They've got CSV files coming from different laboratories. Even within their own laboratories, samples are coming from multiple
yes.
places. They're
different
in different formats. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we're a bunch of geneticists. We're not bioinformaticians.
That's right.
We don't know how to merge these data sets together so that we can find mins and maxes on certain chromosomes so that we can go forth curing cancer, because they're trying to find cures to cancer from a genetics perspective, and they can't actually do this right now. But like, if they had, I was like, I recommended an ETL process yesterday,
right.
and now
because
with
that's all
this, that's all we had.
That's all
yeah.
there is, yes.
So now it's like, if they have this, it's just, okay, we can install this, we can get funding for it. Who cares what it costs?
Right.
It's a huge enablement. Now they don't have to learn. I mean,
right.
there was like three technologies that they had to use to do that before. So
yeah. This is a new tool in your toolbox. It's, ETL is being used, but in some cases it really is an overkill.
It
doesn't really answer the business need either.
And it's not big data that they're dealing with. I mean, it's 300 megabytes per file. You merge it all together. They've got maybe 3 gig. There's no need for
That's right.
all that ETL.
That's right. And on top of it, the definition of these files could change over time. You could have more files, fewer files. What you want is something that searches them in parallel. And because of our caching capability, it can be really fast access. So here what I've done is I've modified recent sales to add to my list of data sources sales file, which is now my local text file. So I am going to read directly from the files just to show you what it contains. And as you can see, we read just from that file. we have an ID column, effective date, item name, and so on and so forth. So if I do a select star from shard local sales, we are now combining data from NoSQL, SQL Server, MySQL, and flat files
in Azure.
And Azure.
Four different sources. Three sources. I don't know. Three or four, who cares? Multiple sources at this point.
Yes. The point is, it really doesn't matter how many, because this is all in parallel. You can daisy chain Enzos so that one Enzo takes care of flat files and FTP sites because perhaps you have large volumes of data there. Another Enzo dealing with cloud information, and then another one that actually combines information from the two. It's really easy and interesting to actually deploy an architecture of data services like Enzo across your organization to abstract information to your data.
This is cool.
Thank you. So this kind of concludes the demo that I have for you related to the sharding environment. But I promised earlier that I would show you something for developers as it relates to REST.
So oh, yes. Yeah, I definitely want to see how we add on our own stuff, because as developers, we've got our own custom stuff. Got to see how we add that in.
So for developers, we talked earlier about the SDK, which really allows you to build your own adapters against data sources to just about abstract anything. And it could be an adapter that abstracts information from multiple sources. That's fine. So here's an example of an adapter that we call Workflow, where you have created a store clock called Generate Random. And all I'm showing here is the capability of how, what you can do with this, where you can basically imagine being inside a main routine with a parameter so that you can control input parameters. And what you're doing is creating a data table. You're then adding a column to your data table so you can return something. And we're generating a random value and adding to that data table the value. And we, behind the scenes, convert the data table that you have created into the actual output of Enzo. I'm going to run that product that I created earlier. And this literally compiles into a DLL and then make sure that your commands are actually going to work before we run them. And we have a random value, 480 cells.
Can we do it one more time?
Make sure it's random?
Yeah, of course. I'm a real developer. We got to test this.
Make sure it actually... test this, 438.
Okay, right. There we go. Random enough for me.
All right. So what I'm showing you here is the REST client that allows me to send a REST request, like if it came from a mobile phone, perhaps, right? So I'm going to send a request to localhost on a specific port where Enzo is actually listening. So we have listening ports for SQL Server and listening port for HTTP and HTTPS. So you can send that particular post command, which will say, I want to communicate to the workflow adapter. You see, it's a part of our REST request. And we are going to run a store proc that we just created earlier to get our random number, right? So this is the name of the method. And this is an authorization token that we need that we can map to an account. So let's send that request. And this will talk to Enzo and return JSON response, and we've got our value, 495.
So you can actually interact with Enzo as if it were a REST-based server as well, following that naming convention.
We have created a central logic which is accessible both from the database world and the REST world.
Wow, so you've got multi-platform or cross-platform just covered completely from the data layer as well as a REST API layer.
And the architecture of Enzo makes it that over time we can increase that, right? So right now we look like SQL Server and a REST engine, but we can look like a MySQL Server as well, eventually, or other platforms. Right? We can look like an FTP site, really. So let's take a look at another request, which is our local sales example. So what we've done, remember, we've created a shard environment that...
with our four data sources.
Multiple data sources, cloud data sources, flat file, and all of that. And what we want to do is connect to it, not just from SQL, but also using a REST command. So I'm actually going to call our select local sales, which is the actual store proc name behind the scenes that Enzo generated.
That's the select star?
Which is our virtual table. So that will transform really into a select style behind the scenes against recent sales, which is our source, our shard name. And as I send that request, Enzo will return, as you can see, a very large data set of sales.
This is cool. So yeah,
we've got the MySQL stuff in there, of course. Sales DB2,
there's Sales MySQL.
Sales
in there.
MySQL. You have the Azure table towards probably the bottom, I imagine. Sales files. This is a local flat file.
Wow. So you've merged them for all, multiple data sources that still live in their own data systems, and merged them together through a data platform, and are now exposing that through REST.
That's just
That's super cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that really kind of gives you an overview of Enzo.